This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Every job, when it's complete, there is a sense of bittersweet. That moment when you know the task is done.
But I don't know the task is done. If you haven't heard the news, I'm devastated to be the one to break this to people. Jared, I did not sign up for this. I did not sign up to be the bearer of such bad news. We have a messaging problem here at the Grace Curley Show, and I'm about to deliver a real tough message for everybody out there. The Disinformation Governance Board, or as we like to call it here at the Grace Curley Show, the Ministry of Truth. Big Brother. Well, Big Brother is no more. According to a report by Taylor Lorenz, who's usually on the TikTok beat, but she took a break from the TikTok beat from doxing libs of TikTok to tell us in the Washington Post, where democracy dies in darkness, that the Disinformation Governance Board, headed up by Mary Poppins, Nina Jankowicz, is being paused. An intra-departmental DHS working groups focused on disinformation have been suspended. Nina Jankowicz is considering leaving. And first of all, we hardly knew ye. And this is too soon. It's unfair. It's not right. It's outrageous. I feel like Cory Booker right now. I have tears of rage.
It's atrocious.
It really is. I mean,
precocious even.
It's not supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It's just completely.
Those poor chimney sweeps.
And you know why it was disbanded?
Yes.
Because of right-wing attacks.
Coordinated right wing attacks.
We have no one to blame but ourselves. We flew too close to the sun on this one. We enjoyed it too much. We thought we were going to have like at least 2 years of musical skits, of fact checking.
Much like Icarus and his magical umbrella.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. We took that umbrella and we just went too high for our own good. And now it's over. And it was like, oh, it's over before it's even begun. They couldn't even really make the kind of changes that we thought were coming because it's been paused. Now, the key word, of course, is paused. That gives us hope. Whether or not it's false hope, I do not know. But if you aren't familiar with this, Nina Jankowicz, who has spread fake news plenty of times in the past on her Twitter, she was heading up the Disinformation Governance Board, where she was going to spot disinformation. Some of the examples she gave was disinformation like Kamala Harris slept her way to the top. She was going to fight this kind of disinformation. Well, they've paused it because of right-wing attacks. The Biden administration, yet again, just buckling to the pressure and deciding to put this governance board on hold. I don't know what we're going to do now. You know what this is? You know what this reminds me of, Jared, is when Brian Stelter was describing Elon Musk taking over Twitter. just, it's like going to a party with no rules.
That's the truth.
Going to a party where people say, hey, you can hang out and listen to whatever music you want and have fun. I don't want any part of that. We are a society here, people. We need rules. We need fact checkers who are going over articles and flagging them and giving you little updates like, are you sure you want to retweet this? You haven't read the article yet, and it's full of fake news. Are you doubly sure? We're going to give you one more chance. What are we supposed to do without that?
On the upside, the DC karaoke circuit that's currently reopening is about to be lit.
Yeah, we should for, and I hope this isn't her swan song, honestly, because it's only paused. And, you know, though, it's like one of those things. Because we're talking about music here, it's like when a band tells you that they're taking a break. One Direction, you know, oh, we're going to take a break for a little while. Doesn't usually mean there's good stuff to come. It means that it's over, but they want to let you down easy. So they say, we're just taking a little hiatus. I've seen this film before and I didn't like the ending. They say it's paused, but I'm getting nervous. Now, if this is her swan song, we should send Nina Jankowicz outright. I'm sure she has an illustrious career ahead of her, fact-checking and all that kind of, maybe Snopes, PolitiFact, The Washington Post. There's a spot there somewhere for her. But we should play what really stole the audience's hearts, which was her performance of a classic Mary Poppins song. Take it away, Jared.
Information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide a little idle lie. It's how you hide a little idle lie. It's how you hide a little idle lie when Rudy Giuliani shared that intel from Ukraine. Or when TikTok influencers say COVID can cause pain. They're laundering disinfo when we really should take note and not support their lies with our wallet, voice, or vote. Oh!
In all seriously though, what kind of psychopath does that?
What, a little parody song?
Not even a little parody song, but like that parody song and that, like, if you really think about how bizarre that was.
Well, yeah. And like, I have thought about it. That? And I was looking forward to more of those in the future. Beyond this news, which I didn't even plan on really talking about in the opening, but you can't avoid it. You know, when Mary Poppins leaves, she leaves a mark, needless
to
say.
She co-hosts with Jen Psaki on MSNBC. They call it the Jen and Jank or something like that.
Yeah, there's going to be... This is not the last time we've heard from Nina. Don't cry for me, Nina Jankowicz. Other big news, though, that we should cover here is the Pennsylvania Senate GOP primary is too close to call as of now. Dr. Oz is in a tight race with David McCormick. There was a mail-in ballot issue. Again, I'm sure this is a shock to everyone. This is a morning full of shocks. First you hear about Nina Jankowicz, and now you're hearing about a ballot issue during election season or during primary season. I know what you're thinking. What? In the United States of America? No, Grace must have her facts wrong. Well, fact check, I'm right on this. Don't worry though. It's not like there was a pipe that burst in the middle of the night. No. We should be fine. This was just a glitch. Don't you love that, a glitch? I thought the days of blaming things on a glitch were over. This is a real boomer move, and I know I get heat sometimes. People say you make fun of the boomers. I got a lot of boomers in the audience. Love you all so much. So don't misunderstand. But boomers do have a habit of blaming things in the office. And actually, is Howie a boomer? He's a boomer, right?
He's a boomer.
He's a classic example of this. When something goes wrong, like if you forget to send an email, something that's your fault, you blame it on a glitch. Oh, there must have been a glitch with my email. It's 2022. You got to come up with something better than that. Well, this ballot situation is being blamed on a glitch that is causing an issue counting thousands of ballots. So now it could take days. That's That's just what we expect now.
Stop me if you've heard this one before.
Speaking of movies you've seen and didn't like the endings of, here we go. This is the sequel. Well, on the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman, who recently suffered a stroke late last week, handedly defeated Connor Lamb. Other big news story was Madison Hawthorne?
Cawthorn.
Sorry, guys. I got a spelling error here. Lost his primary in North Carolina's 11th congressional district. He's had a lot of issues lately, like a lot of scandal stuff. There was a video that was out there that wasn't great. Some of the attacks were unfounded. Some of the attacks, I mean, he kind of stepped in it himself. Just kind of goes to show you that he's a Trump guy, but that's not enough. You got to be a good candidate. And I don't think he was one. Beyond that, Cawthorn, we also will talk to Ari Hoffman about this from the Postmillennial at 12:30. He'll talk a little bit about the Disinformation Governance Board, RIP. And as always, feel free to call in and give us a call at 844-500-4242. We love to hear people's insights on these races, specifically if you've been following them closely, if you have a certain take on how things played out. Another topic I want to talk about today is this replacement theory. Because the Democrats are, it's weird. I always thought it was Republicans who seized and pounced and weaponized. The Democrats are seizing on this and they're trying to pin this theory on Republicans, and it's hogwash. It is conflation. It is BS. We're going to break it down. We'll have John Davidson on tomorrow to discuss that. He has a really good piece in The Federalist. And also, leaked documents are coming back into fashion. There's a leaked memo from the Department of Homeland Security that details the ongoing investigations into threats to burn down or storm the Supreme Court. I should add in to passionately protest the Supreme Court or to have a fire break out at the Supreme Court. I think these are the way, this is the correct
Sounds
way to say it.
Sounds insurrection-y to me.
It does, but again, I don't know how many times I have to drill this into you, Jared. It's passionate protesters here. So it's not insurrection-y, actually. So I would take that back. If Nina Jankowicz were here, she would pull the plug on this whole show right now. That's according to Axios. Which side of the argument they're worried about peacefully protesting, setting fires, burning down the Supreme Court, which side, whether it's pro-choice or the pro-lifers, I can't say. You'd have to use your own intuition there and try to figure out. I don't want to assume, you know, it could be either way. Either way is fine.
Angry torches march through the halls of the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Do you think it's the people who are pro-life who are, you know, threatening to burn down the Supreme Court? Or do you think it's the men dressed up in the Handmaid's Tale outfits? That is up to you. That is really anyone's guess. It's, again, one of the great mysteries we'll have to uncover here. We're going to go to break now. We'll take your calls, 844-500-4242. DHS warns of summer of rage surge in violence. Summer of rage. Oh, boy.
Tears of rage.
You know, summer of rage, Jared. This is on Fox News, and I don't want to try to fill the shoes of Nina Jankowicz because we can't. We can't. But I believe, fact check, I believe it's called A Summer of Love. And I don't know what kind of hate they're spewing on Fox News right now. But the DHS is braving for a surge of violence, a surge of peaceful violence, a surge of just peaceful protesting. That's all it is. Nothing more, nothing less. 844-500-4242. We'll be back with your calls. We'll talk about all of this. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, by people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
We have so much to talk about today, including the primaries yesterday, the leaked memo from the Department of Homeland Security. What's happening at the border? That's another huge issue that you are no longer allowed to talk about, lest you be called a racist lunatic, thanks to the mainstream media. We'll get to all of this. We'll take your calls on all of this. We also have some lighter news as well that we'll get to. Remember the hand sanitizer that Cuomo was so keen on? He was waxing poetically about the Tulipalooza hand sanitizer.
Tulips, yes.
Tulips, yes. It's a nice floral bouquet. Well, we have an update on that hand sanitizer, which I know everyone's been waiting for. Like, where is, you know, it's one of those things you think of and you go, where is that hand sanitizer now? We're going to tell you about it in just a little bit. But first, I got to tell you about Perfect Smiles, because I've said it before, I'll say it again. Perfect Smiles is the best. Dr. Houghton is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth and your smile, but what he really does is he builds the self-confidence of his patients. When you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. The better you look, the better you feel, and that helps every aspect of your life, every interaction you have daily. If you're not afraid to smile, every other part of life becomes a lot easier. It's a new year. It's time for a new you. Don't put this off anymore. Just go to perfectsmiles.com. The offices are located right off of Route 3, and they have plenty of parking. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. All right, so the Pennsylvania Senate GOP is very close, Jared, and it's looking like Dr. Oz might pull this out. And I guess my question for you, and I know I'm catching you off guard here, but I just want your honest answer. How do you feel about this? Because I think if we throw this out to the audience, people are very opinionated about Dr. Oz. I've really never been a Dr. Oz fan. I don't watch a lot of daytime TV. I've never had a problem with the guy. But whenever someone decides they're going to run for office, you find out about all of their political beliefs, whether or not they still hold them, for the last like 5 decades. So we've been finding out a lot more about Dr. Oz, and a lot of people, for good reason, are concerned that he's not going to be a Trump kind of conservative that stands tall and pushes back against the woke mob, and he's going to be more of a Mitt Romney rhino type of guy. Where do you fall on this?
I fall into that camp. I'm a huge fan of Kathy Barnett. I wanted her to be the candidate. I don't trust Dr. Oz. I've seen his stances on Roe versus Wade. I've seen his stances on other things. The work he supposedly did for the Turkish government kind of gives me a little bit of pause. Apparently voting in Turkey. I don't have a good feeling about Dr. Oz. I think it was actually a mistake of an endorsement by Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, okay, so now my question on that is, and you're right to have those concerns, it's been...
I still want him over Fetterman or whatever that guy is, because he's at least a rhino. I'd rather have a rhino than a Democrat, but...
But Kathy Barnett, when you look back at her history, too, she said things before that would make me wonder if she's going to be a true conservative. Yeah. A lot of these people are not perfect candidates.
No, they're not, but I would take her over Oz in a... You know,
and it is tricky with Trump, because you think, does he really believe that Oz is the best person, or does he just like him and Oz compliments Trump? Because Trump can succumb to flattery. He's not opposed to siding with someone just because they're nice to him. You know, if you suck up to Trump, he's going to like you. So that also makes me kind of skeptical.
Yeah, and Kathy Barnett may end up being Marjorie Taylor Greene. We don't know, but I'd rather have that than have another Mitt Romney. I'd rather have another Marjorie Taylor Greene and another Mitt Romney. Anything that shakes up Washington and gets rid of known celebrity power people, I'm down with.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll keep everyone posted. As I mentioned, they're having a glitch in the system, and they're still counting mail-in ballots. This goes back to what all of the listeners say all the time. Now, Jared always stays here when we do remotes, so I haven't told you this before. When we go on remotes, people come up to me during every single break almost. I'm not even exaggerating. And they say, what are we going to do about the elections? I don't feel secure about the elections. I'm not confident in the integrity of the elections. It's the number one issue for so many people, and it gets overlooked because there's so many other disasters going on. But it all focuses back to that, because if you don't trust the elections, you can't get people in who represent you, and then all of these other issues are going to be kind of inevitable. And I think that when you see this happening with mail-in ballots and now, oh, there's a glitch, the machines aren't working, it's going to take us days to count it. This shouldn't be happening in the United States of America. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls. We got a lot more sound when we come back. And Ari Hoffman from the Postmillennial joins us. It's Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down. Medicine.
Originally, I contacted one of my favorite writers, Ari Hoffman. He's a frequent guest of the Grace Curley Show, and he's a writer at the Postmillennial, to come on to talk about the primaries yesterday. And he is going to talk about that. But I have a feeling that the topic Ari would rather spend time on right now is the end of the Disinformation Governance Board, headed up by Nina Jankowicz. In fact, we found out about this through the Washington Post because Taylor Lorenz, also known as the woman who doxed the Libs of TikTok account, she decided to break this story. And it's good. She's telling us that the board is on pause. But one of the paragraphs in this that really caught my eye, she's talking about how Republicans pounced and weaponized on Jankowicz's past social media presence and how unfair that is. You know, that she, like Libs of TikTok, that she puts out videos and people see those videos and decide to publish them. That's a horrible thing. That's a disinformation campaign, using your own words against you. It's like what I always say from Dodgeball. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood. Nobody takes a video that I posted and uses it against me. Well, there's a line in this story by Taylor Lorenz. It says, dozens of websites, including Breitbart, The Postmillennial, The Daily Caller, and The New York Post, began mining Jankowicz's past social media posts and publishing articles to generate controversy. Here to defend himself and The Postmillennial, Ari Hoffman, how do you respond to this?
You're welcome, America. That's what I would say right there. So, I mean, really, when she says that, oh, the Postmillennial and these other sites did it, anybody with Google did it. The whole internet did it. We just published these things. Yeah, we found a bunch of them too. But what kind of a person leaves that stuff up when they know they're going to be under national scrutiny, unless they think they're invincible, unless they think nobody's going to look at it, unless they think they're untouchable? And if you notice in the article, it also says that they offered her to stay on. So, yeah, what they're doing is they're putting this on pause because they think that if they're egotistical enough to think that if they actually win the elections in 2022 or manage to win back everything in 2024, they could just restart this thing again. It's not going away. It's just paused for now.
Yeah, and Ari, for this is a little inside baseball for people, but Taylor Lorenz at one point, I think, was criticizing, I believe it was MSNBC, because they ran a piece on her talking about how unfairly targeted she was by right-wing actors, and she didn't think they did a good enough job pushing back. She's criticized places she's worked for before for not defending her enough, you know, not defending her robustly enough and, you know, giving her all the credit she deserves. In this piece, she's doing the same thing against the Biden White House, saying, you know, when these criticisms of Nina Jankowicz, a.k.a. Mary Poppins, came out, they should have really made it sure that people understand how legitimate this operation was, instead of kind of just staying silent.
That's ironic coming from Taylor Lorenz, the one who decided to dox some random TikTok account, or rather Twitter account, instead of saying, hey, why are people actually upset about all this kind of stuff? No, the truth is that this thing had no standing based in law, had no standing based in the Constitution, and everybody from left, right, and center said this is ridiculous, except for the far, far left that always wants to resort to socialism or head in the direction of control as much as possible. So, of course, they're going to say something like that, but they never came out with a coherent message. They could never defend this thing when they were asked about it. You saw Mayorkas completely collapse under questioning in front of the people on Capitol Hill. There's no way to defend this thing. All it was about controlling what you say, and we have the First Amendment for that.
Yeah, and part of this that I find hysterical is in this piece, and far be it from me to try to read between the lines of Taylor Lorenz's work here, but she's basically trying to say that it's really ironic that the Disinformation Governance Board has been destroyed by a campaign of disinformation. There's nothing that the post-millennial or the New York Post or Jack Posobiec, who also gets mentioned in here, there's nothing that they were posting that was untrue. Just because Nina Jankowicz and Mayorkas and Joe Biden might not like what people were posting, that doesn't mean it's untrue. And that's exactly why people are so hesitant to buy into these Ministry of Truth type of organizations, because who are you to tell people it's not true? Why? Because it's inconvenient for you? Because you don't like to see the old Mary Poppins video rolled out? That doesn't make it fake.
Taylor Lorenz may have just done everybody a favor and defined what misinformation or disinformation or whatever information they're going to call it next is. It's whatever the Democrats don't like. It's whatever the Washington Post doesn't like. It's whatever's an inconvenient narrative, be it Hunter Biden's laptop, be it about Nina Jankowicz. Whatever's an inconvenient narrative, like Joe Biden's poll numbers, that narrative has to be completely erased. And if they have to label it misinformation or disinformation, like PolitiFact, where they go, mostly true, but this has been fact-checked, or mostly false, but it's all true, we just don't like it. They have really revealed what's behind the curtain here.
My two favorites are missing context, and my number one favorite is, it's complicated. It's complicated means don't listen to anything you're hearing. Ari, I have to ask you now. I'm excited to hear your take. I know you have a lot of takeaways from the primaries last night. Let's start with the Dr. Oz of it all. They're saying there's glitches in the ballot counting. Give my audience a little update on this.
Sure. So what happened was, in Oregon and in Pennsylvania, some of the ballots were misprinted with regards to the barcode. You know, most secure election in history, right? So you have these misprints, and now they have to recall them, and they have to hand update them. I can't see any way that would possibly go wrong in any way, shape, or form. I'm sure that'll be 100% secure. But anyway, it's a razor-thin margin, and this is exactly the nightmare scenario. You have a glitch with the ballots, and now you have a very, very close election, and this thing is going to be tied up in recount hell, if for no reason other than just the glitches with regard to the ballots themselves.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to read Ari's posts on this, just go to the Post Millennial. He has a couple up right now, and some other stories about the border and everything else we're going to get to. But I also want to ask you, Ari, about the Madison Cawthorn situation. Are you surprised by this? There was kind of mixed reaction online today.
Not at all. I'll tell you, and some of your listeners might get mad at me about this. I wanted the guy to lose, and this was before all the other stuff came out about him. I didn't like this kid from day one. And anytime he says, oh, that was such a long time ago, the dude's 26 years old. How long ago could that have actually been, all this stuff? So really, you know, give me other excuses. But I never really liked the guy, not from day one. I really thought, well, and here's something else to think about. If you elect people like this to office, why are you surprised that they have all this stuff in their past? I mean, this is exactly why the guy was elected. People liked that he was different and out of D.C. and that he was young. Well, you know, the younger folks tend to video everything they do and tend to take pictures of everything they do. So they're surprised when you elect somebody like this to office that you're going to get all this. I wasn't a big fan. I'm glad he's gone. But here's the most important thing. I'm glad it was Republicans that primaried him and said, we don't want this anymore. I'm tired of the Democrats saying, oh, we're going to strip Marjorie Taylor Greene of her committee assignments. No, that should be left to the Republicans to do, just like the Democrats should be stripping Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, AOC of all their stuff because of their hate speech or whatever shenanigans they're up to. I'm glad it was the Republicans that dealt with this, just like they did with Steve King, as opposed to the Democrats dealing with it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think there's a lot of people out there right now who want to get involved and who have really good records on this stuff. And it's not hard to find good candidates. You know, we have to have a little bit less patience for these chaotic candidates who a lot of people don't seem to like. Lastly, Ari, can we talk a little bit about the border? What's happening there? I know that they're setting new records. This is something about this administration, you have to say, as much as they might seem like they're disappointing us, they're record setters. Everywhere you look, gas prices, border crossings, they're breaking records all the time. Give us an update on what's happening at the border.
Sure, Trevor Noah said it best. Everything's up since Joe Biden took office. Gas prices are up, inflation's up, border crossings are up. So 234,000 encounters this month. What that means is somebody who reported to an actual border crossing facility, point of entry, or somebody who they caught coming across illegally. That's just the people they know about. They estimate that could be anywhere two-thirds higher of that, it's probably more, of the people they didn't catch. So you're talking about hundreds of thousands, if not millions, millions of people coming across the border illegally, and you don't know who's in there. And I assume anybody who's sneaking across, they want to break the law for whatever reason that is, but you're going to get people who are running drugs. You're going to get people who have felony records. You're going to get people who have terrorism records, and you're going to get desperate people. Let's remember this is also a humanitarian crisis where Joe Biden's administration now has people being trafficked by these border mules, by these drug dealers, and they're using them as distractions. So they'll throw a kid into the Rio Grande so that the Border Patrol goes and saves them, and then they can get their drugs across the border. We already lost a border agent who drowned trying to save two drug smugglers. This is only going to get worse. And if Title 42 is repealed, and for those of you who don't know what Title 42 is, it's something that was put in place during COVID, which said you could pretty much deport anybody who comes across the border because of the health risks. If that is repealed, there are already thousands of people camped out on the border waiting to come across because they know the Biden administration will welcome them with open arms, give them free flights anywhere in the U.S. they want to go with no strings attached.
Yeah, no, it's really something that people should be paying attention to. It's hard right now. I know there's so many stories out there, just so many disasters with this administration that it's hard to keep up with it all. But Ari, we thank you so much for coming on the show. We always appreciate it. Ari Kahn, you can find him on Twitter at The Hoff Father. You can also find him at The Post Millennial. Ari, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Always a pleasure, Grace. Take care.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about this replacement theory and how the Democrats are trying to pin this on Republicans and how ridiculous that is. Also, we have some great sound to play. Now, the show's open for basically the rest of the show. We have, I think, one other guest, but we're going to open up the phone lines. It's 844-500-4242. I have a feeling people are going to want to talk about the ballots and the counting in Pennsylvania and how messy this is all getting already, and we're only at the primaries. So I'm sure come 2024, I bet this will all be sorted out. If you're one of those people who comes up to me on my days off and says, I'm worried about the elections, how does this make you feel? Call in, weigh in, perhaps vent if you need to. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
According to RNC research, the nationwide average for a gallon of gas hit a record price for the ninth straight day. And you all say Biden doesn't accomplish anything. This is historic.
America is back.
Maybe he's just trying to hit these new highs so you can call it a historic day, and ipso facto, you can then take off your mask. Hey, I'm figuring this out. By the way, Biden is, according to the Washington Post, this is the latest opinion piece, Biden is doing nothing to fight inflation. We should be grateful for that. There's so much to be grateful for with Joe Biden that it's hard to wrap our heads around it. You
got good blood, kid.
I wake up every day and I'm like, I need to appreciate this man more. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The 3-pack is back. The 3-pack is a great value, and the top 3 uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Do you think the Disinformation Governance Board is gone for good?
No, so they're putting it on pause. Like Ari Hoffman from the Post Millennial pointed out, they did give her the opportunity to stay on board. I think that they just need to repackage this. You know, it's like everything else in the government. If at first you fail, repackage it, try again when people are paying a little bit less attention. They kind of debuted this at a bad time because Mayorkas was the one who basically unveiled it to us. And it was in the middle of him also trying to defend the fact that our borders are wide open. So it was a bit of a double whammy. You're sitting there going, this guy is telling us about the disinformation board? This man who has no idea what he's doing, and by the way, this man who a lot of people think is just, when he goes to the border, when he visits the border, people think he's just doing it for show, if you can believe that. He shouldn't have been the one to announce it. So I think they got to find more of a sweet spot when people are focusing on something else, a different distraction, and then they'll sneak in the Disinformation Governance Board, and they can rebrand it with some new name, you know, Fake News Fighters or, you know, something like that. So I'm going to say we have not seen the last of the DGB.
57% of the audience agrees with you. 43% think it is donezo.
Yeah, also, you guys have way too much hope. I mean, yeah, would I like to think it's donezo? Sure. But as long as Elon Musk is still talking about fake news and all these people are talking about the problem with censorship, this board is going to be coming together.
She was a government employee for 21 days. Does that mean she gets the lifetime government pension? I don't know if she qualifies for that.
I'm sure. And by the way, that's another aspect of it. This is a whole new cottage industry. You know what I mean? I'm sure there were brothers and husbands and wives and uncles who were ready for a new cushy job at the DGB. And we can't let that go to waste.
For Glee Club buddies.
She was the director, but I'm sure there was a chancellor. I'm sure there was an assistant to the chancellor. Sure, there was an assistant to the regional manager director. These are all positions that we can't just let go of. Let's play a little bit of sound here, though, Jared, before we go to break. I wanted to... Oh, you know what? There's actually two things I want to talk about because the baby formula shortage is still going on. Dr. Jill made this like PSA where she said that Biden is working around the clock to fix this.
Dr. B.
She's got to stop with that idea that he's burning the midnight oil. Nobody, we don't see him past like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And when we do, it's not great. He's looking pretty tired. And beyond that, now we have Katie Porter, who the last time we heard from Katie Porter on babies, it was because she was saying that inflation is actually the perfect reason why we need abortions because, you know, it's hard to buy food for babies, so you need to have the option to kill them. That was, I'm not exaggerating. That was the
message, yes.
That was the main idea of her message. So this was Katie Porter on MSNBC changing her tune a little bit. This is Cut 11.
What is your message to a mother and a father sitting out there right now saying we're having to mix things together to kind of create our own formula? When will formula be back on the shelves?
Well, I think what the White House has done here is act very, very quickly. And I think we are going to see some of that stress relieved fairly quickly. Part of this, of course, is people are saying, I'm worried I'm not going to find it. So when they do find it, they're buying a lot.
That is false.
I would disagree with the very, very quickly thing. I mean, Joe Biden doesn't even walk very, very quickly at this point. He said that if he had been a mind reader, then maybe he would have got ahead of this. Becerra told us that he knew about this last year. So I'm going to disagree with that. Then again, I'm not the director of misinformation. I'm not Nina Jankowicz. I've never, you know, gone viral for singing Mary Poppins yet. So I don't know if I'm really one to judge, but I'm going to question that. But at least she sounds a little bit more sympathetic towards the parents who can't find baby formula. That answer was a little bit softer than this is why we need abortions. So 1 point for Katie Porter, I guess. When we come back, we're talking about the border. We're talking about the Democrats' latest tactic to smear Republicans. And we're talking to you, most importantly. 844-500-4242. It's Wednesday. We'll be right back.